We're talking about astrology. Does anyone know the difference between astronomy and astrology? Kyrie.
Astronomy is the study of the stars and the heavenly bodies, and astrology is the study of the stars and the heavenly bodies to predict future events.
What would you say? Would you say astrology was?
Astrology is the study of the stars and heavenly bodies to predict future
events. Okay, to predict future events. That's good. All right, good. So, in just a moment, we're going to look at a film, and so we would say astronomy is good. We would also say astrology is generally bad. Now, I want to make sure that you get this, because we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I got this postcard here. Now, listen to this. This is a postcard that the church received. It says, urgent message. I recently left my full-time career to start a full-time ministry for the Lord. For the Lord has shared prophecy with me for the past 6 months, and it's imperative I share this apocalyptic warning to the leaders of our communities. Please visit my website to see the details on these prophetic events. Bottom line is, he has a time chart here that shows you all the things of Revelation and how they're supposed to take place between, well, how they started taking place March 2nd, 2014, and how they will continue until, February 23rd, 2021. But the rapture is going to take place on September 23rd, 2015. Okay? And, So you'll notice the dates. So anyway, I'm going to pass this around. Before I do, I want you to take a look at it, but don't get distracted. I emailed them on July 8th, and I asked them a few things about this, because I study my Bible from time to time. And so I asked them a question or two, and he responded with, basically, you don't know what I know, just give it some time. I came back with, how do you fit the day of the Lord, the great tribulation? Like I said, this is a weeks-long discussion. There's no point in trying to get you to understand everything I asked him. Bottom line is, he came back, I think, July 20-something, and said, well, I'll tell you what, in 50 days we'll talk about it from heaven. He says, because we'll both be raptured in the barley harvest. You're a man of God, and so am I, and so we'll both be gone in the rapture, and then we won't care. And so I emailed him this morning. And it was simply this. Well, here we are. And so I hope to receive an email back from him, because maybe I'll be able to minister to him. But anyway, there you are. I don't know where he lives. You can go to the website and...
Subject line.
Ta-da. Yeah, subject line. Well, here we are. Yeah. Boy, it's nice up here. But anyway, I feel poorly, because what that is, you're going to see in a moment, most of his predictions are based off of the sun and the moon. Okay? Most of his predictions. And so it's poor astrology. Okay? So I have a DVD, I have a book in my office that talk about the four blood moons. Typically, you know, and that's something people are making a big deal of. We're talking about people, it's funny you brought this up today, we're talking about people who have never read their Bible all of a sudden give a rip about blood moons. Because somewhere in the Bible it says something about blood moons. And, you know, I could show you where it is. Of course, in close proximity to that is a solar eclipse. But don't confuse us with all those details. So we're going to now watch a video I'll include on the sermon audio recording about this, all right? This is a discussion, a brief one, 2.5 minutes, between Hugh Ross, who is a Christian astrophysicist, and John Hagee, who is a pastor in San Antonio, Texas. And great. Who's a pastor in San Antonio, Texas, who is written a book, basically, called Four Blood Moons. So let's take a look. Because for two successive years, blood moons have occurred on these Jewish holidays 2 years in a row, then that means that probably the Lord is going to return at the Feast of Trumpets, or actually Yom Kippur, which is right in the fall. Okay, well, here's the issue. If we're going to go by the Jewish calendar, don't you want to see these four blood moons from Israel? And that is the inconsistency. Is that they're trying to use the heavenly bodies to predict the future, but they're not even doing it from a biblical perspective. Matthew 24, for example, says that the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. Well, that seems to suggest then that a solar eclipse and a blood moon will occur in close proximity close proximity to one another, and that if you're going to place them on Jewish holidays, you'd at least be able to see them from the place where they're celebrating them. Right? So that's a problem. We want to take a look at another video here in a minute that is an overview of astrology. But before we do, I want to cover a little bit in our textbook. So page 160 in the textbook. So you'll notice that the first thing we're going to talk about is what is astrology? You might notice that's the first heading, as a matter of fact, in your textbook. What is astrology? So notice the top, let's see here. You might notice the top paragraph. It talks about people asking the question when they're reading their horoscopes. You can find those in basically any newspaper. The top paragraph of the chapter on page 160. And usually they offer daily horoscopes to predict individuals' futures. What's your sign? Crops up in many casual conversations. And usually, I'm not going to say everyone in here who has ever said that is trying to be, you know, Babylonian. Remember, they worship bodies of heavens, right? So I'm not saying that, but I am saying you need a biblical perspective before you sound like you're, well, trying to tell the future with heavenly bodies. You're going to notice that this chapter is not very long. It's not going to take much for us to get through it. But notice the next paragraph. Astrology is an ancient practice that assumes that the position of the stars and planets has a direct influence upon people and events. Here's another good definition. Someone read that slide, please. Someone who hasn't read. Thank you, though. Go ahead, Jay.
Pseudoscience dealing with the supposed influence of the heavenly bodies on human character and destiny. Astrological conclusions are based on the apparent movement of the sun and planets through the zodiac, an arbitrary division of the celestial sphere that 12 segments identify with 12 major constellations.
All right, one moment. So the zodiac is the overhead appearance of our solar system, okay? And constellations that are seen through our solar system. And our light is, our world is seen through those 12 sections known as the signs of the zodiac. Okay, that is how astrology splits these things up, okay? And as the sun travels its path, called the ecliptic path, rather, it cuts across the zodiac at various points. Okay, go ahead.
Movement of the sun and the zodiac at various points. Movement of the sun and the planets in relation to the zodiac provides astrologers with patterns and aspects from which their interpretive schemes are drawn. The 12 segments of the zodiac are called houses, constellations. Constellations such as Leo, Virgo, and Sagittarius associated with the respective houses are called signs.
All right, so the segments are called houses, and the constellations after which the houses are named are called signs. So, in other words, we'll see this later in the chapter that hopefully will better explain it. Look at the next page. How is it justified? How astrologers justify their practice is explained by Michael van Bouskerk. One's future can be forecast, allegedly, because astrology asserts the unity of all things. This is the belief that the whole is in some way the same as the part. In other words, you are one with the universe, and so you are looking into the future when you look certain amounts of light years away. And you are seeing you. Okay? You're connected. This is incredibly Eastern. This idea that you're one with creation is incredibly Eastern. It's very common. You'll see when we get into Buddhism, Hinduism, that kind of thing. The position of the planets, middle way through the paragraph there, the position of the planets influences and produces corresponding reaction in man. So it's a real bit of fatalism. You have to do, or things will happen to you based on when you were born. Okay? When the sun passes through a house. If you're born in September, you have a particular sign. Okay, we'll talk about that in just a moment in our overview video. Go ahead, Jake. I thought you were raising your hand about something. All right. Neuberger concludes, to believe, the bottom paragraph of that section, to believe in astrology, you must support the philosophy that you're either a born loser or a born winner. The stars, we are being told, do not merely forecast the course of our lives, but they also cause the events to take place. They both impel and compel. So, you basically have your life determined for you in the stars. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Let's see an example of some people who did this. And then we're going to get an answer in a video that we'll show here as to why they could do this. just like there were ungodly astrologers, there were also some astrologers who apparently were able to foretell the coming of Christ. It's very strange, isn't it? So look at Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." These people were stargazers. They studied stars. So, in just a moment, we're going to look at an overview of what astrology is, and then we're going to look at how astrology played, or at least in part, how these Babylonian astrologers were able to tell when Christ was born. Look, there's something to that, folks. And we're going to see if there's a biblical connection. Just understand, in the next 2 days or so, we're going to talk about how this goes haywire. Maybe the Lord... Listen, there's more than two choices. One choice is that the stars make everything happen. The other choice, in the other ditch, is that the stars have nothing to do with what happens. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Maybe stars do predict things, but they predict things only specifically about Christ. You'll have to make that choice. But here is what Philip Schaff said in his History of the Christian Church, Volume 1, pages 113 and 114. You don't need to know that so much, but listen. Another chronological hint of Matthew 2, which has been verified by astronomy, is the star of the wise men, which appeared before the death of Herod, and which could naturally attract the attention of the astrological sages of the East, in connection with the expectation of the advent of a great king among the Jews. Such a belief naturally rose from Balaam's prophecy of a star that was to rise out of Jacob and a scepter that would come out of Judah. Remember that? Numbers chapter 24. Let's go look at it real quick. Look at Numbers 24. Here's the unfortunate thing. The unfortunate thing is there's very little in life that there's either choice one or choice two. And if you assume it's only choice one and choice two, you will not be happy. Choice one is stars predict everything. Choice two is stars predict nothing. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. And it's stars predict something that has to do with Christ and his kingdom. So, Numbers 24 and verse number 15, here's the oracle of Balaam, son of Peor. Notice what he says in verse 17. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near." How is it possible to see something, but it's not in the now? It's, you can see something, but it's not close, and it's not now. So he's telling the future. Look what he says in that verse. "A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and it shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth." So here is, we are, what we believe, describing a prophecy of the coming Christ. So these guys in Matthew 2 either knew what the Moabite prophet said, or they knew how to study the stars like the Moabite prophet did. But either case, Matthew 2 is the fulfillment of Numbers 24. You have any questions before we watch the overview? Okay.